Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah's Chaf Zayin. We are in Chavav Amud Beis. We are starting today Tanur Rabbanan. We begin today with a Tosefta regarding the mitzvah of Mila. We've been discussing some of the more serious issues regarding relationships between Yisrael and Akum, and a lot of concerns regarding Shechichas Damim, which prompted and was the driving force behind a lot of these Gemaras, yesterday's daf, day before. Gemara's continuation of this discussion as it relates to the mitzvah of Mila. We're going to go in both directions. We're going to be talking about us maling them and them maling us as well. The Gemara starts off the discussion with the following: Tanur Rabbanan Yisrael mal es ovi kochavim l'shum ger. So a Yisrael is allowed to circumcise an ovi kochavim if it's for the purpose of gerus. It's kind of obvious. In fact, it's so obvious that the Gemara immediately interjects, meaning this next words of the Gemara is not part of the Braisa, but rather it's the Gemara's explanation. Let's say it's a Morana, so then you can't do it. What is Morana? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, so there's some sort of bug, we can call it an infection, but whatever. There's some sort of ailment on the Arla, So Rashi reminds us of what we learned just the other day. In other words, basically what we're doing is we're treating. And if we're treating bechinam, if you're doing so for no cost whatsoever, so that you're not allowed to do. Bishar, you're allowed to do it because of Eva, as we talked about in the last couple of days. But bechinam, you're not allowed to do. And therefore, if it's Mila for the purposes of remedy, a therapy, so then you can't do it. You can only do it for Gerus. Back to the Gemara. Now, this is now a continuation of the Brayis of Ovi Kochav Lo Yimo Yisrael. Now, in terms of allowing an Akum to mal a Jew, so that you're not allowed to let happen. So the concern, of course, is Shvichas Damim, meaning they have a knife in their hand, they have the baby there. So even though obviously the goal is to do a Mila, but at the same time, however, the concern is Shvichas Damim, and so you cannot allow them to do that, putting jeopardizing our babies. It's a fair question. We have a lot more to go, so it's a fair question. V'chachamim omrim ovi kochavim al Yisrael. So bezman shachem omdim agabo aval beinola veinola. So I'm sorry. Yeah, aval beinola veinola. So the chachamim disagree with Rameir. Chachamim say that as long as there's supervision watching overhead, so then it would be fine. So then an Akum would be allowed to give a Mila to a Jewish baby. So V'Rameir Omer Afilachem Amdim Agabo Namilo Dizimin Dematzlu Sakinam Ashle Kru Shavcha. And V'Rameir, like we've seen consistently for the last couple of days of the Masechta. So V'Rameir says, no, I'm still worried, even with Jewish supervision. Meaning all you need to do is just simply cut at an angle. Over here it can render the child a Kru Shavcha. Rashi points out, once the child is rendered a Kushafcha, Rashi over here gives a little bit of detail in terms of the anatomy. Rashi over here points out that as long as it is, you're cutting now from the corona interior to the body, right, distal to the body, proximal, thank you. So once you're cutting from the corona proximal to the body, so then the baby now is going to be rendered a kroshavcha. A kroshavcha is now sterilized. And so the guy, even with supervision, can accomplish sterilization of the baby. And that, obvious, aside from the obvious endangerment of the baby, also jeopardizes the future for his future children. So therefore, Amir says no. So what do we have right now in the Braisa? We have it set up that with Machlok Shim Rameh and the Chachamim. Rav Meir disallows the Akum to mal a Jew under any circumstance, even with supervision. The Chachamim allow for it, and the Gemara now continues v'sav Rav Meir ovi kochavim lo v'riminu. So the Gemara says now, the Rav Meir's position seems to be very clear. However, I'm going to quote now another Braisa, and this next Braisa over here is going to not be in agreement. The Braisa says, Yershim bar rofe Yisrael v'yesh bar rofe kusiv rofe ovi kochavim. So there's no Jewish doctor in the community. I know that sounds strange. So there's no Jewish doctor in the community, and here's my choices. My choices are either to go to an Akum or to go to a Kusi. Okay, so Akum is a non-Jew, a Kusi. Again, it keeps coming up again and again throughout the Masechta. So he's a convert, but the conversion was questionable. And even if the convert, let's for our purposes right now, let's say he's Gerei Emes. Let's say the conversion was good, but in terms of his belief system, in terms of his practice, so that is questionable. So his belief system, as the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment, believes in God, but also believes in idols as well, and still to a certain degree practicing idolatry. And in terms of practicing, the Gemara says a number of different places. Chooses the mitzvahs that he likes. The mitzvahs he loves. Loves the mitzvahs that he does. But doesn't comply to all the mitzvahs. Anyway, that's a kusi. So here's my choice now. My choice is to either have the guy do the milah or have the akum do the milah or have the kusi do the milah. So which one should I go with? Yimol v'kochem v'al yimol kusi div Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says you should favor the guy and not the kusi. Alright, so already we have a problem. Because previously, in the previous price, we had Rav Meir saying, you can't have a guy do the milah. Even if there's supervision, you can't have him do the milah. And here in this price, Rav Meir says, have him do the milah. And not the kusi.
And all qualifications. He doesn't require anybody.
Only seemingly.
Why do they use the
term? Why do they use? What term? My Gemara has the word Ovei Kochavim. Again, everything is Ovei Kochavim in Masechta Avodah Zarah. That's just the term that's used. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yachol Yimol Kusi Val Yimol Ovei Kochavim, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. You have the Kusi do the Mila. You don't have the Ovei Kochavim do the Mila. So what we are right now is at a standstill. Meaning in the first brisa, we had Rav Meir saying no to having an akum do a meal at all. In the second brisa, no Jewish doctor. I have a choice between a kusi and akum. We have Rav Meir saying, favor the akum over the kusi. Okay, so that's called a stira. Epoch. So the Gemara says, so here's what we're going to have to do. It's excuse me. It is not the most elegant way to deal with an issue, but over here it's necessary, and that is flip. Epoch Rav Meir Omer Yachol Yimol Kusi Velo Ovei Kochavim. Rav Yehuda Omer Ovei Kochavim Velo Kusi. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to do now is we're going to flip the two shitas. Sorry. We're going to flip the two shitas, and we're going to now have Rav Meir holding that we're not going to allow the guy to do the Mila. In other words, favor the Kusi. And we're going to have Rav Yehuda saying, no, favor the Akum. Okay. So now we have the positions flipped. Now we have an alignment between Rav Meir. But you know, with every solution comes a problem. That's not always true. But it happens. In other words, so you solve one problem, but then you open the door to another problem. So now, because we flipped, so we have now Rav Yehuda saying that a kusi is allowed to give a milah. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, Ovei Kochavim, Shaper Dami V'Atanya. The Gemara says, but now that you flipped it, now we have Rav Yehuda saying that a kusi is and that a not kusi, sorry, that an okum is allowed to give a milah. So that's problematic based on another brace of V'Atanya, second line from the bottom. Rav Yehuda, Omer Minayin Lamila, Ovei Kochavim, Shipsula. The brice over here has Rav Yehuda saying that it's puzzle. A guy does a milah, it is not a milah. Shenemar v'atas brisi tishmor. The pasuk says, Akash Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu v'ata, and you es brisi tishmor. You have to keep the bris. Meaning, the only one who has the ability to give the milah is you and your subsequent children. Meaning, only a Jew can give a milah. If a non-Jew gives a milah, it is simply not a good milah. So ela lo lemotepoch. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what we're going to have to do now. So you know that reversal that we attempted? So undo that reversal. So that means that Rav Yehuda now is going to be in alignment. Fine. And v'hachem b'mayiskinan. So the Gemara now says, now what we have is a steer in Rav Meir. Meaning by undoing the reversal, so now Rav Meir, remember, the original brisa and the second brisa that we quoted have Rav Meir conflicting with one another. So the Gemara says, so because of that, here's what we're going to say. Hachem b'mayiskinan b'rofi mumcha. We are now talking about an expert doctor. Expert doctor says Rashi on the top. Because now that he's an expert doctor, now he's got a reputation to be concerned with. So remember, Rav Meir's real concern was shlichus damim. And Rav Meir says, and even if somebody's omid agaba of supervising, so then he's going to simply cut it at an angle. So the Gemara now is saying that's all that's correct and all that's Rav Meir shita. But once we introduce the idea of a rofe mumche, where he's got his reputation now to be concerned with, so therefore he would be allowed to give a mila. That is right now the Gemara's resolution of all three brisas, not flipping the second brisa, having now Rav Yehuda in agreement. Rav Meir disagrees, but the resolution is a doctor who has his reputation to be concerned with versus a guy who just simply knows how to give a mila. Where the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan, that if he's a mumchel rabbim, if he's a professional, and he's an expert, and he's public, and people know about him, so then it would be mutter. Okay, so far so good, but we're not done with this with this resolving. Because now, in this approach that we've had so far, Rav Meir generally disallows a kusi, an akum. Rav Meir generally disallows an akum unless he's a rofe mumcha. Rav Yehuda generally allows it, but the Gemara now points out we have another brisa here. Now the fourth brisa on this topic. Vatanya Yisrael mal sakusi v'kusi Elohim al Yisrael minnei shemal l'shem har grizim divra Rav Yehuda. So now in this brisa we're discussing kusi. And here in this brisa, a Jew is allowed to give a milah to a kusi, but a kusi is not allowed to give a milah to Yisrael. Why? Mimnei shema l'shem hagrizim divrei Rav Yehuda. Because they're according to Rav Yehuda, what's his kavana when he's doing the milah? He's doing it l'shem avodah zarah, as I mentioned earlier, with the kusi. So even though they converted, but they still had trace amounts of avodah zarah that they still kept dear to their hearts. And they, eventually the Gemara Chulin points out that They were at one point in time historically caught red-handed offering a bird on Har Grizim to their idol, so they were forever disqualified. But at this juncture, though, we're back in the brisas, so we're during the tkufa of the Tanaim. So here, still, even the Tanaim, you see this in Rav Yehuda, even the Tanaim knew that they still had avodah zarah dear to the heart. So when they're giving a milah, this is Shitas Rav Yehuda, when they're giving the milah, because they have this idolatrous kavana going into the milah, so therefore it's disqualified. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda. And Amar Rav Yosi v'chein eichan matzina milah min hatorah lishma. And Rav Yosi says, when did you get so caught up in this lishma regarding the mitzvah of milah? Now that in of itself is an interesting statement. We're going to come back to that statement in just a moment. So the Gemara's and Rav Yosi's position is, let him do a mila. Let the kusi do the mila and let him continue doing the mila until he dies. I know that's a strange expression. Let him do a mila until he dies. But basically, Rav Yosi is saying, look, it's not the best position to be in. And I'm not, in other words, the fact that we're here, that you have to allow the kusi to give the milah, fine. Hopefully, Rav Yosi, it's a strong language. Hopefully they'll expire. But until that point in time, the milah by kusi would be acceptable, would be fine. So we have, just give me 1 second. So we have now Rav Yehuda disallowing the milah of a kusi. And so now with that in play, so now we got to go back to the brisa. Now remember, we flipped the brisa around, but now by flipping the brisa around, we have Rav Yehuda allowing a kusi to give a milah. But the Gemara now points out, but that's difficult because we have a brisa that says very clearly where Rav Yehuda stands on the matter, where Rav Yosi stands on the matter. So ela laolam epo chidabchina mikara. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to go back to that second brisa. Like we originally presented it, we're going to have to flip that second brisa. That second brisa now is flipped. We have now Rav Yehuda saying that a kusi cannot give a milah. We will not allow a kusi to give a milah. That is in agreement with the brisa we just learned. And so therefore that part's now resolved. And that part's now resolved. The kakashi Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. But now we have another problem. Meaning, and the Rav Meir is also resolved. Because Rav Meir, as we now know, disallows an ukum to give a milah. That's good. Meaning, now that we flip the brisas, so Rav Meir says that an ukum is not allowed to give a milah. So far on most issues, everything now is resolved. There's one point that's sticking out, and that's kashid Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda. There is a disagreement between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda in the first brisa where we started. Where we have, there's no mention of Rav Yehuda, so we don't have to worry about that. In the second brisa that we mentioned, again, we're flipping that second brisa. So we have Rav Yehuda saying that an akum is allowed to give a milah. And then we have the third brisa where Rav Yehuda states very clearly that an akum is not allowed to give a milah. So that sticking point out, the difference between brisas numbers 2 and 3, so that's going to be difficult. So the Gemara says, Kasha Rav Yehuda de Rav Yehuda, Hahi de Rav Yehuda Nasihi. So the Gemara says, yeah. So here's what we're going to say, that price of describing Rav Yehuda is Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Meaning, generally speaking, that's right. So when we see the words Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda Eli, the Bar Plukta of Rav Meir. That's generally how it works. But the Gemara notes over here that's generality. Here we're going to have to go with the exception. The exception is that this Rav Yehuda is a reference to Rav Yehuda Anasi, not normally referred to in the Brisa as Rav Yehuda Anasi, but in order to create agreement between all these Brisas, we're going to have to say that. And do I know Rav Yehuda Anasi's opinion? Gemara says, sure I do. Titan, you will learn a Brisa. Rav Yehuda Anasi, Omer Minayin Lamila Bavik Chacham Shi Psula. How do I know that a Mila done by a guy is simply disqualified? Tamalam Ravatas Brisi Tishmor. So he quotes from the pasuk from Avram Avinu, and you're going to keep my mila, meaning only you have the ability, you and your children have the ability to give the mila, a non ben Avraham, well, really ben Yisrael. So in other words, someone who is not a Jew cannot give a mila. Period. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of all this. So there are now in total 4 brisas, and what we've done basically in conclusion is we flipped around the second brisa. And now we have agreement between all 4 brisas, and the only sticking point was that Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara comes up with the solution that Rav Yehuda of the brisa that disallows a non-Jew is Rav Yehuda Anasi, not Rav Yehuda Eli. In other words, where the Gemara's conclusion is, that's correct. Yes. We're not there yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet. Okay, it's coming. It's coming up. Yeah, that's correct. Okay. Now, with that stated, we touched on a point earlier. Let's talk about just a little bit more this morning. The Gemara states very clearly that Rav Yossi says there's a Dover Pashut. It's obvious that when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, there's no requirement of Lishma. Right? And in other words, in the 4th Brisa where we talked about the Kusi, so the can a Kusi do a Mila? So Rav Yehuda objected to it, because what is he thinking about when he does the Mila? He's thinking about his idolatry, the gods that he worships on Har Gerizim. And Rav Yehuda says, I don't want that to be part of the Mila practice. And to which Rav Yossi's response was, what are you getting so worked up about? You think there's a little Shema requirement when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila? And that was Rav Yossi's response. And Tosos over here wonders, there's really no Lishma requirement? So let's take a look at that second Tosos on the Amud, where he discusses this in some more detail. So, Rav Yossi says that when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila, there's no Lishma requirement. Fine. So for Rav Yossi's standpoint, that's what he says. Now, generally speaking, we kind of know whether there is or there isn't a Lishma requirement. Meaning the Torah kind of tips us off in terms of whether there's this requirement lishma, right? The psukim basically indicate when that's so. Here by the mitzvah of Mila, it's fascinating. Meaning we have the Tanaim already debating whether or not there is or there isn't a lishma requirement. First of all, just to clarify, when we say lishma, we mean to do it for the sake of the mitzvah and for no other purpose. It's that simple. Meaning matzahs have to be baked lishma. That means that when you bake the matzah, you have to say, I'm doing this for the shame matzah's mitzvah. In fact, if you ever participate in the baking of matzah, so you know that the people that are involved in the baking, l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Tzitzis has to be made l'shma. When you tie the knots of the tzitzis, you have to say, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So in other words, l'shma just simply means I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah, and I'm not doing it for any other ulterior motives. Generally speaking, there are psukim that indicate whether it's l'shma or whether it's not l'shma required. What about by Mila? So the Tanaim argue in terms of whether or not there's a Lishma requirement or not. Rav Yehuda says there is a Lishma requirement, and Rav Yossi says there's no Lishma requirement. In of itself, that's already interesting. Tosfos now points out, now think about it from the standpoint of Rav Yehuda. There is a Lishma requirement. Good. That's what Rav Yehuda says clearly in the Brisa regarding Kusi. Then you go back a couple of Brises earlier, and Rav Yehuda says, can a guy do the Mila? Rav Yehuda says, yes. A goy could do the Mila. So Tosfos now is going to ask just a wonderful question. There is a Lishma requirement, and a goy could do the Mila. Yes. But there's a Lishma requirement. So Tosfos discusses this very point. Let's see this inside. So according to Rav Yehuda, the Mila has to be done Lishma. And yet he's of the opinion that a goy can do it. Vitema. So I'm sorry. get pashas and baba basra. Anyway, beget over kochav and beget perik hamevi. So the Tosfos says, I'll tell you where we see this differently. By gittin, gittin has to be written lishma, right? The first sugya of mesechta gittin is that get has to be written lishma. Lishma over there, by the way, does mean l'shem mitzvah, but it also means l'shem that man and that woman. Get has to be written l'shma. Now, can a guy write a get? The answer is no. Furthermore, the Gemara in Gittin says, if the guy writes a get, the get's puzzle. So, mishum doviko chavim adaita d'nafshikavid. Because when the guy's doing it, he's doing it on his own mindset, and he's not doing it l'shma. So, wonderful question. According to Rav Yehuda, milah is l'shma. A guy could do a milah, according to Rav Yehuda. So it seems like a guy can satisfy the lishma requirement, but then when you look at Masechta Gittin, where the get has to be written lishma, and the guy cannot satisfy the lishma requirement. That's Tosfos' question. His answer. So the Gemara says that in terms of the lishma kavana of the guy, what are we going to generally say? Neutral. Neutral. And gabe mila d'stam lishma kai, kol zman she'en osa l'shem hargrizim, im kein bo v'kochav d'stam kavik sheva. And since he has a neutral kavana, says Tosfos, so it really depends now on what mitzvah we're talking about. Let's say we're talking about the mitzvah of milah. Milah clearly is a religious activity. Clearly. And so when the guy has stam kavana, or neutral kavana, so therefore, by virtue of the fact that it is the mitzvah of milah, so we could say that objectively it's lishma, meaning that's the nature of the mitzvah of milah. Aval get isha stama lav lishma. To stam isha lav legerusha no medes. Hilkach geba oviko chavim pasul. But when it comes to a get, so Tosfos makes this argument that it's not stama lishma. Why? Because a woman who's a married woman is, for her to receive a get and be divorced, that's an entire change of her nature. Meaning that you're shifting her chazaka from being a married woman to a non-married woman. So there, you need positive lishma. When we say that the guy's intent is neutral, so the neutrality of the guy's intent can't help the get. So when dealing with mitzvahs like gittin, like Sefer Torah, so therefore you have to make a declaration, meaning us Jews, you have to make a declaration prior to that saying, I'm doing this lishma. Tosfos says you have to do that regarding a get, you have to do that regarding a Sefer Torah, the Torah Yisrael Vaskar, so Shem Kedusha, the Stam, Allah, Lishmaikai, because Stam, it's not lishma. And Tosfos goes on to discuss, so it's very interesting, where you have this lishma requirement that has to be done l'shem mitzvah. So something, this is Tosfos' distinction. Something like the mitzvah of milah, stam it's lishma. Because that's the nature of milah. Meaning the very inherent nature of milah is that it's done for the purposes of giving somebody a milah for the purposes of a mitzvah. Granted, the guy is not mitzvah in the mitzvah of milah, but remember, we're not talking about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. We're talking about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who allows for the guy. He doesn't darshan the psukim. Ve'atas brisi tishmor. So in other words, for him now, is there the lishma done by the guy? Tosfos' argument is yes, because since his kavana is stam, so since it's stam kavana, on a mitzvah of milah, which is stam lishma, so therefore it's okay. Gittin, Sefer Torah, where it's not stam lishma, so then the guy can't do it. That's the argument of Tosfos.
You could say that every guy is stam lishma. Let's say that the guy is a galav.
Right, no, well that's... Well, that's what Rav Yehuda is saying. That's why you can't have the kusi do it, because the kusi is not. I know the kusi is not lishma, so that's why you can't have the kusi do it. That's exactly Rav Yehuda's objection to having the kusi do it. Wait, hold on one second. Yes. When there's a lishma. When there's a lishma requirement, that lishma requirement, I'm cataloging in my head right now, but it's lakiv, meaning if you don't have the lishma, so then it's no good. So, yeah. So in other words, it's simply without lishma, it's not going to work. Okay. Lulav, there's no lishma, right? There's no requirement lishma. The schach over there, the gemara. The gemara then stuck on daf tes. There's no lishma requirement there. Okay. Anyway, regarding what? Regarding No, there are, no, meaning the there's no. I understand your question. There's I don't know the Rambams by heart, but in other words, there's no clear indication. Okay, let me I'll look it up just to make sure I'm right. But whether or not he subscribes to the Shmar or not. Okay, anyway. So, yeah.
Is it for saying it so that when a Jew does it, it has to be with Shmar?
Right.
When an Idol worship does it, it doesn't have to be with Shmar. It just has to be done. So is it in the Kavanah of doing it or having it done is the most important?
In other words, when we're saying there's a Lashmar requirement, it has to be purposeful.
Right.
So that means that it has to be done l'shem the mitzvah, and not for any other reason. And by the way, we just simply don't know. In other words, we don't know what he is, but that Tosos now is making this, introducing us to this idea that it's really, it's a neutral mindset of the guy. Not positive, not negative.
But when a Jew does it, it has to be
Lishma. No, in other words, right. And Tosos is saying like this, when the Jew is doing it, it doesn't have to be Lishma, but something like Mila, it will be Lishma. But something where it changes something, like it and like writing a Sefer Torah, so then there has to be a positive declaration. Yes.
But a non-Jew never has the Shema because they're not mitzvah to do any mitzvah.
But
apparently they can never be a lishma by a non-Jew.
Right, but that's what Tosus is arguing. Tosus is not arguing. Tosus is telling us that they're not anti-lishma. They just have neutrality.
It just doesn't apply to them.
I understand what you're saying, but that's not what Tosus is saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista. We are continuing now in the Gemara. We are on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down. And now the Gemara is going to be discussing the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Now, remember, let's not get confused. There's Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda Nasi. So Amar Rav Chista, my time at Rav Yehuda, Dechsev LaHashem Imol. So, we are discussing now the most recent brace that we just learned, and that's regarding the Kusi. Can the Kusi give the Mila? So Rav Yehuda says no, because of his intention. And Rav Yossi says intent is not a critical function of the Mila mitzvah. And the Gemara now goes...
Yes or no?
Who?
Rav Yossi.
He says it's okay.
Kusi.
Yeah. He doesn't care.
You don't need
Lishma according to Rav Yossi. So my time at the Rav Yehuda dichsev LaHashem Imol. So according to Rav Yehuda, this is Rav Chista's explanation. According to Rav Yehuda, the Torah says LaHashem Imol. Now it's important, by the way, to look up the Psukim, and you'll notice that LaHashem is the end of one Pasuk, and Himol is the beginning of the next Pasuk. And so really what he's doing is he's fusing together from two different Psukim, but in other words, to arrive at this conclusion. Rav Yossi, Himol Yimol. And Rav Yossi says Himol Yimol, meaning anyone could do the Mila, it's a ribui. V'idah chaksiv LaHashem Yimol. And the Gemara just simply now goes back and forth. What is the other going to do with LaHashem Yimol? Ha'u b'Pesach Siv. No, that's regarding the Karban Pesach. Meaning look at the Psukim inside and you'll see that the Psukim are not focusing on the mitzvah of Mila per se. It's just simply a prerequisite for the Karban Pesach. In order to bring the Karban Pesach, everyone in your family has to be malt. Now, what are you going to do with the Himol Yimol? Isn't that a ribui? And the counter argument, of course, is it's not a ribui. The Torah does that. Torah sometimes speaks in the language that you and I would speak. Itmar. So, how do I know that the mitzvah of Mila by a guy is psula? So, we already saw that to be a machlokes hatanayim. Now, the Gemara is going to point out that the Amoraim also get into the discussion. So, Daru Bar Papa. And we don't see him that often in the Gemara. We see him at the end of every Gemara during the Siyum, but in the Gemara itself, Daru Bar Papa. Okay, one of the sons of Papa. So Daru Bar Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar Vatas Bitsi Tishmor. He says it's no good. Why? Because of the pasuk that we already quoted twice. The third time now we're quoting Rav Yochanan Himol Yimol, and Rav Yochanan arrives at the same conclusion, but from a different drasha. Himol Yimol. And how do you get from Himol Yimol? Rashi writes, Himol Yimol, Karibe, Hamal Yimol. Only someone who's circumcised can give a Mila. Hamol Yimol. Mishu Mahol Yimol Acherim. The one who himself is Gamalt, he can give a Mila to somebody else. My Beinayu, the Gemara says, fine. So it's interesting, by the way, once we get to the period of the Amorayim, there's not going to be a dissenting viewpoint. Meaning by the Tanaim, there are some Tanaim who allow for a guy to give a Mila. But once we get to the Amoraim, as we're seeing right now, Everyone is in agreement they can't. It's just a question of why they can't. What's the drasha in terms of why they can't? So my benai, the Gemara now points out, is going to be nafkamina. The Gemara says, sure. Aravi mal v'gavnuni mal. So if you have an Arab or a gavnuni, not perfectly clear what he is. Some suggest that he's members of the B'nai Keturah family. So they give a mila to their own. So in terms of imol yimol, so in other words, imol yimol means as long as you're doing a mila to yourself, you can do a mila to others. So their practice is that they do mila. So therefore, if the drush is imol yimol, so then they'd be allowed to give milas, not only to their own children, but to a Jew as well. Uman damer is bris tishmor leka. But as bris tishmor, only who's somebody who's a ben bris. In other words, a Jew. Non-Jew can't give a mila, even though their practice is to do mila, but they're not b'nei bris. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me that if you subscribe to the drush of Yimol Yimol, so an Arab and a Gavnuni can give a meal. The Gemara says, but that's not true. We have a Mishnah. A person makes the following nadir, and he says, I'm not going to get any benefit from an Arel. The word he uses is an Arel. So, what he really means when he says Arel is a non-Jew. Arel is just another way to describe a non-Jew. So, Mutaber le Yisrael, in fact, he can get Hanar from a Jew who didn't receive a Milah, V'asr b'mulei avdei kochavim, but he cannot get benefit from a non-Jew, even if he's Mahu. So, Ama afagav de Mila kamanda lo Mila dami. So clearly from this Mishnah in the Nedarim, you see that someone who is given a Mila, meaning a non-Jew is given a Mila, is considered not Gemalt. It's considered not circumcised. Now, Tosus points out over here, it's a Mishnah in the Nedarim. We know the basic rule regarding a Neder. When it comes to a Neder, halacha chaloshem b'nei adam, you follow what people speak, how people speak. And so therefore, it's interesting that our Gemara over here uses a Mishnah in the Nedarim in order to indicate a halacha regarding Mila. Nedarim, you could just simply say Nedarim is different because we're just following how people, the verbiage and the understanding, the communication of people back and forth. But Tosos points out that's generally true, but, says Tosos, if it's a term of ambiguity, the Torah is going to be the reflection of what is the proper understanding. So over here, Tosos says, this is really, the mission of Nedarim is really reflecting how the Torah views it, which is, you're a Jew, you're considered a non-Arel. You're a goy, you consider an arel, regardless of whether you physically did or did not get a mila. So the Gemara says, okay, so that nafkamina no longer is a nafkamina. So alaika bina yisrael shemesu achav machmas mila v'lo maluhu. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about the nafkamina would be the following. Let's say you have a Jew who didn't get a mila for a good reason. First baby was born, got a mila, died. Same thing happened to the second baby. By the third baby already, the halacha is you do not give him a mila. Sakanus nefashos, his life is in jeopardy, so you do not give the third one a mila. So, legitimately, he does not have a mila. Can he now give a mila to somebody else? So, ostensibly, now it's an afkamina. If you subscribe to the drush of himol yimol, only someone who has gotten a mila, he can give a mila. He didn't get a mila, so therefore he can't give a mila. On the other hand, if you go with the drusha of atas brisit tishmor, so as long as you're a ben bris, he's a ben bris. So the Gemara says, Lamanda marvatas brisi tishmor ika. Lamanda amar himol yimol leka. So the Gemara also does not like this nafka mina as well. Lamanda amar himol yimol leka vatanan. So the Gemara quotes another Mishnah in Darim. Konim sheninena mimola maser ba'ala Yisrael. A person says that he is not going to get any anah from a Jew. Okay, so this particular person has had it with his Jewish brothers and sisters. So he says, no longer am I going to get anah from A, and he describes it as a mulin, anyone circumcised. So he can't get benefit from a Jew, even if he's an Arel, because when he said mulim, he just simply meant Jew. And he is mutter b'mulei avdei kochavim. So ama afagav de la mehila kamanda mehila dami. So the Gemara says, so you see over here from this Mishnah Nedarim, that even if you didn't receive a mila as a Jew, you're considered mahu. So therefore, even if I go with the drush of himol yimol, he still can give a mila to somebody else. He's considered a ben bris, but the Gemara is saying even more than that. The Gemara is saying he's considered a mohel. Right. And considered, by the way, also, the only reason why he didn't get a mila is to sakanas nefashos. He onis. Meaning, but he would love to have gotten a mila. Okay. Right. Fine. So, ela ika beinayu isha. So the Gemara says, so the nafkamina would be a woman. Lamanda marvatas brisi tishmor leka. The isha la bas milahi. Lamanda armi mol yimol ika. The isha kamande mila damil. So the Gemara says a woman would be a nafkamina if you go with the drasha vatas brisi tishmor. So she is not part of the bris, meaning the covenant of receiving a mila was given only to the males, not to the females. If the issue is yimol yimol, anyone who has received a mila can give a mila, so she is considered gemalt. So therefore, she can therefore give a mila. So right now, on the table in the Gemara is, can a woman give a bris? So right now we have it as a machlokas hamorayim, whether or not a woman can give a bris. So the Gemara says, how can you make the argument that a woman cannot give a bris? Read your Chumash, right? In Parsha Shmos, Torah there says that Tzipora gave the bris. So Karibe Vatakach. So the Gemara says, even though the Psukim read Vatikach, and that's of course the correct way to pronounce it, but it could also be read as Vatakach, which means that she instructed somebody else to give the Mila. Now, when I say somebody else, who else is there? Moshe is currently unavailable. And so, okay, in other words, but fine. It could, right. But it could be that she got somebody else to do it. Vaktzi vatichros. Now it says that she cut. So, karibe vatachros. And again, the way the Torah could be understood is, she instructed somebody else to cut. Damar le'ina shachrina va'avad. E by same of the Gemara gives another suggestion. Asya e vaschalta. Maybe what she did is that she started the process of mila. Vasa Moshe va'agmara. Moshe then was released by the malach. Moshe then concluded and finished off the act of mila. Another possibility in terms of how to understand Tzipora. So where do we stand on all this right now? So let's just conclude. The Gemara amongst the Tanaim, the Gemara has a machlokas whether a guy can give a mila or not. Amongst the Tanaim argue whether a kusi can give a mila or not. Okay, so based on the machlokas of whether a goy can or cannot give a mila, there are really two concerns. There are really two considerations. On the can't, one, shichas damin, meaning the mayor general of Avodah Zarah concerned that, in other words, with a knife in their hand and with the baby there, so our lives are in jeopardy. A second issue is that maybe based on psukim and maybe based on drushas, they can't give a mila, right? Either v'atas b'risi tishmor or himol himol, but in other words, they can't give a mila. On the side that they can, so you'll have to say one of two things. One, we're not worried about shrichas damim, meaning maybe it's a professional doctor, like Gemara says. And in terms of the drashas, the Tana who says that's okay doesn't subscribe to those drashas. That's what you'll have to say. On the kusi front, the Gemara also brings down a machlokas atanayim, whether a kusi can give a mila. It's a machlokas shim Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says he can't. Rav Yossi says he can. And on that, it's a question of whether or not there's a lishma requirement by the mitzvah of mila. Rav Yehuda says there is a lishma requirement, therefore a kusi cannot, because this kavanah is lishem of avodah zarah. And Rav Yossi is of the opinion that there is no lishma requirement, and therefore a kusi can give a mila. Then we go down to the Amorayim. By the Amorayim, has already made the observation. The Amorayim are all of the opinion that a guy cannot give a mila. And the only question now becomes why they can't give a mila. So there are two possible drashas. One is Vatas Brisit Shmor by Avram Avinu, and the other one is Himol Yimol by the Karban Pesach. On that, so what would be a nafkamina based on these two drashas? So the Gemara made a couple suggestions, the Gemara rejected them, and the final nafkamina would be whether a woman can give a mila or cannot give a mila. If you subscribe to Rav's position of Vatas Brisit Shmor, so that means that a woman was not included in the bris of bris. In other words, it was for the men, not for the women. Therefore, she's going to be excluded. If I go with Rav Yochanan of Himol Yimol, since she is considered gemalt, therefore she can give a mila to others. Where do we stand in terms of the halacha? Tosos in the bottom of the Amud, he deliberates on this issue. Isha lav bas mila yeshlev so karav veinishak sher lamol dafagav de Rav Rav Yochanan lach Rav Yochanan. So Tosos on the bottom of the Amud says that normally we have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, and normally we favor Rav Yochanan over Rav. That's normally the case. But bahalacha karav. But here in this case, says Tosos, the argument is halacha shemal like Rav. Why? De brisa de Rav Yehuda nasi kaimekavasei. Because there is a brisa, meaning go up a little bit on the Amud, and you'll see the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi brisa, which the Gemara quoted just right before the Amorayim. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is quoted as saying that a guy cannot give a mila because of the drashas va'atas brisi tishmor. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And avabahag pasak disha ksher lamol. Well, Rav damarein ksher lamol before I get to the next point, the Bahag disagrees. The Bahag says that a woman would be kosher to give a mila. In other words, he sides with Rav Yochanan over that of Rav. And the fact that Rav Yehuda Nasi argues, okay, Rav Yehuda Nasi argues. And now, Ula Rav Damitz ain't a ksher lamol. So now, according to Rav, a woman cannot give a milah. So now, Tosfos points out that's difficult in the Gemara and Kiddushin. Remember the Gemara and Kiddushin? I know it's some time ago in the Daf, but the Gemara and Kiddushin talks about the father's obligations to do for his child. So one of the father's obligations to do for a child is to give a milah. In fact, that's the first obligation chronologically that a father has to do for a child. So it's not, so the Gemara over there says the first parak of Kiddushin, Dematzich Osovelo Osa. So that, and how do I know the father and not the mother? Osovelo Osa, meaning we have a drasha over there. And Tosfos over here asks a really simple question. According to Rav, who says that a woman already is excluded from the mitzvah of milah, so she's already excluded. Meaning, what is the Gemara and Kiddushin over there giving another drasha excluding women? So Tosfos says, the matzah chosov lo osala mitzvah she'enu chayevus lamol bana haynu levakish lamalo. So that means, says Tosfos, that a mother can't do the milah herself. Meaning, according to Rav, that's a given. But in other words, is she responsible to make sure that her son is gamalt? So that's what the Gemara and Kiddushin is now addressing. Meaning not her ability to give a milah, she doesn't have the ability, again, according to Rav. But is she responsible to have her son get a milah? So Tosfos says that's the drush according to Rav. That she doesn't even have a responsibility to have her son get a milah. Okay. So, and again, now where do we stand in terms of the halacha? So the Gemara we saw, Tosfos himself, amongst the Rishonim, deliberate this very issue. And then you'll ask your Rav. In other words, in terms of whether a woman can or cannot give a milah. There's obviously much more to discuss on the issue. We just became familiar with the basics, with the ABCs of the whole matter.
If a mitzvah is to start by one and finish it by a second one, the credit goes to the one who finished with the one that started.
Well, in terms of credit, that's a good case, right? Now I understand, but in terms of credit, you know, in other words, if you're asking in terms of schar, you know, that's not my department. So I can't. But in terms of who, right, who did the mitzvah, who you know, like, in that you're like asking, like, in terms of like who makes the bracha and things like that. So it's a good question. I'd have to okay. Let's continue. We're in the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Misrapin mehem ripu imamun of aloripu nefashos. So the Mishnah now opens up with a line that's really difficult to understand. In fact, it's so difficult, the first order of business in the Gemara is, please help me understand that line of the Mishnah. I'll just translate the words right now. You can receive treatment, medical treatment from a guy, but only monetary medical treatment, but not life medical treatment. I just translated the words right now. There's no expectation that you're supposed to understand that at this juncture. Stay tuned. We'll understand that much better as we get to the Gemara. Ein mistaper me'am b'chol makom divrei Rav Meir. What about getting a haircut from a non-Jew? So Rav Meir says no. You notice, by the way, right, a simple observation. Rav Meir is so cautious in every one of these issues. There has not yet been an issue that we've discussed where Rav Meir has been, you know, has been lenient on the matter. Rav Meir is very, very cautious when it comes to all these issues. And here is no exception. Rav Meir says you cannot get a haircut from them under any circumstance, right? Mehem b'chol makom. And Rav Chachamim Omer, b'shus rabim, motar v'alo b'no l'veino. So the Chachamim said, look, if it's a barber's in a public area, and so people are watching, okay, so he's not going to, with the blade in his hand, he's not gonna try to take a swipe at you. But if it's just you and him privately, and he's got a knife in his hand, so the Chachamim said, then you do need to be concerned. Okay. Let's start. Rabbi Kiva, yes, I don't know about Rav Meir. So, my ripu imamun and my ripu nefashos. What is ripu imamun? What's ripu nefashos? Ilema ripu imamun bischar ripu nefashos bechinam. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you're talking about whether they're getting paid or whether they're practicing with their gratuity. Pro bono. So the Gemara says, listen, misrapim and bischar v'lo bechinam. If that's the Mishnah's communication, the Mishnah could have said it much more straightforward and much more clearly. In other words, the Mishnah's job is not to exist in obscurity. If the Mishnah is trying to make a point clearly, it will make it clearly. If the difference over here is whether they get paid or not get paid, the Mishnah would have said, schar versus chinam. So the Gemara says that's not what the Mishnah means. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the distinction is going for some treatment, but in other words, just for a better quality of life, versus this is a critical issue, and if I don't go, I'm going to die. And basically now, if it's just quality of life, that's fine. But if it's for something which is life-threatening, then you cannot do it. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, let's say you went in for some bloodletting, and you have a little bit of complications from the bloodletting. The Gemara, again, this is the Gemara has a certain assumptions regarding its medical reality. Complications regarding bloodletting, it's quality of life issue. So the Gemara says, but we have a statement by Rav Yehuda, which is, I can't go to an Akum to get treated for that. So that's Rav Yehuda's statement, and we're assuming Rav Yehuda is not going against the Mishnah. So again, so now we see that, according to Rav Yehuda, you can't go to a guy, even if it's just quality of life issues. So the Gemara says, so now we'll have a wonderful way to understand the Mishnah. Ripu Yamamon means your possessions could be brought to a non-Jew. Otherwise known as your animals. Otherwise known as a vet. So to go to a non-Jewish vet, have them treat your animals, that's your property, that's your mamon, that's fine. You? No. So the Gemara says, and now, this shot of the Mishnah works in perfectly with the statement of Rav Yehuda. That even if it's a bloodletting complication, and this is, again, just quality of life issue, you go to a doctor, he'll treat you, you'll be a lot more comfortable. So, according to Rav Yehuda, you can't do that by going. Now, the Gemara quotes in the name of Mar Ukva. Let's say you're asking him advice. Asking him advice, so about various medicines, that would be okay. Why would that be okay? Gemara goes on to explain. One of the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Savar Shiyule Masho Lo. Ki Hechi. The mashallah mashallah shachrina, the asa ugavra lo oruye nafshe, because if you're asking him for his medical advice, you know what he probably did. This is the thought process of the doctor who's being asked. Well, if he's asking me, so he must be asking others as well. And if I give poor advice, if I give bad advice, so then other doctors are going to hear about it. They're going to now my name is going to be besmirched. So therefore, I'm going to give good advice. So if it's a question now of seeking advice, so you can go to a non-Jewish doctor to seek advice, says the Gemara, because he'll know that his advice will be compared against others. Amarav Amrav Yochanan Amrila Amrav Chisam Rav Yochanan Safik Chai Safik Meis Ein Mizrapim Mehem. Let's say you are in questionable critical condition. So in other words, your particular case is such where it may or may not be critical. And to go to a non-Jewish doctor, so the Gemara says it's not worth it. However, vada meis misrapim mehem. But if you know that your case is a critical, you're in critical care, you're in critical condition, and now it's a question of going to a non-Jewish doctor, so that the Gemara says, so look, you're going to die anyway. So here you got, I know. So you got nothing to lose. So therefore, go ahead. So the Gemara says, aike chaisha. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Let's weigh now what's in the balance. You're for sure going to die, but not immediately. You go to the non-Jewish doctor, you may immediately be put to death. And so therefore, you're forfeiting a little bit of life. So the Gemara states, l'chai shalo chai shina. Don't worry about that. A little bit of life, nothing to worry about. Now, let's say this really clearly. Tosus says this really clearly. Top Tosus on the Amud. I'm a chayshina. Rubble falls on top of a person. Okay? You can dig the rubble up on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur. You can be mechal Shabbos. You can be mechal anything in order to, well, not anything, most anything. Shabbos and Yom Kippur, for sure you can. In order to dig him up. In other words, the Gemara over there says, what are you going to do? You're going to just extend his life just a little bit? Gemara says, for Chaye Shah, it's worth it. It's worth it to extend somebody's life and be Mechal Shabbos in order for Chaye Shah. So over here, Tosfos is bothered. The Gemara over there in Yuma says that for Chaye Shah, you can violate Yisurim of the Torah, Shabbos Yom Kippur. Here, the Gemara dismisses Chaye Shah, just Chaye Shah. So Tosfos says, obviously, everything is relative. Tosfos writes. So, in other words, Tosfos says, whatever is towards his betterment. Dahasam im lo tachush yamos. Over there, you're not worried about Chayesha, he's going to die. Meaning right now, he's buried underneath rubble. So, you want to extend his life a little bit? If I do nothing, he for sure is going to die. If I have an opportunity to extend his life just a little bit, so then obviously, given those two choices, I'll be mechal of Shabbos in order to extend his life just a little bit. Hacha im tachush v'lo yisra'a peymano v'kochavim v'ada yamos. V'kan v'kan shavkinan havadil me'evar asafek. Over here, we know for sure he's going to die. Meaning, the consensus position of the medical profession is that he is going to die. And now it's a question of receiving questionable treatment or he's for sure going to die. So there, we dismiss Chayesha because the questionable treatment is going to be the preferred choice over his definite death. There we get to dismiss Chayesha. Masha Enkein, if the choice is, if I don't do anything, he for sure is going to die. And if I'm Michal Shabbos, I may extend his life, albeit just a little bit. Okay, so then Chayesha is a consideration that I should take into consideration. Okay. So the Gemara says now, how do I know this? The Gemara says, I have a precedent in Navi. So the Gemara over here tells us about the four Mitzorayim where we read this by Haftarah for Tazrim Mitzorah, which makes perfect sense. So the four Mitzorayim are Gehazi and his three sons who all suffer from Tsaras, and they were going to die, and Aram, the army, was right next door, and the opportunity was either they were going to die of starvation or risk their life to go to the Aram nation, maybe they'll feed them for some unforeseeable reason. All happens to be that they walked over to the opposing army. Turns out that because of an act of God, the army cleared out, and basically they had all the food over there, and their lives were saved. But in other words, what they were ready to do was they were looking at imminent death of starvation. And now, basically, we're going to die anyway, so let's risk our lives by going into the opposing army's nation. And it turns out that it worked for them, but basically what you see is that as long as you're looking at imminent death, you could do something which is life-threatening, which is a possibility that you're going to be saved, even though there's also just as good a chance that it's going to result in immediate death. It's interesting, right? Your observation is good. It's really interesting. The Gemara feels that's a glot raya. It's fantastic. So the aika chayisha, alav the chayisha lo chayshina. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges with a raisa. Lo yisav iten adam im haminim. So you're not allowed to go into prolonged dialogue and discussion with the heretics. Ve'in misrapim me'em afil chayisha. And you can't get medical treatment from them, even if it's for chayisha. There was an incident with Ben Dama, the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael. Last she kishunach, she was bitten by a snake. Uva Yaakov Ishkvar Sechanya Lerefoso. And Yaakov Ishkvar Sechanya came to do the refuah. You'll remember him? We saw him about a week ago, a little bit more. A week and a half ago in the daf. And Velo Hinichu Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael said to this heretic, he said to his nephew, you're not going to him for treatment. Meaning he's a man, he's a heretic, you don't go to him for treatment. V'amalei Rabbi Yishmael, achi hanachli v'arape mimenu, v'ani avir mikra min ha-Torah shuhu mutar. And the nephew pleads with his uncle, you let me get treated by him, I'm going to bring a pasuk in the Torah to tell you that it is mutar. And with the word mutar that came out of his mouth, v'lo ispik l'gmoras ha-davar, ad sheyatzasa nishmasa umes. And that was his dying words, the word mutter. So he didn't get to finish the sentence, meaning he was going to bring a pasuk. And we start tomorrow with a simple discussion of, well, what pasuk was going to say. But right now we'll just read his uncle's reaction. Kara alav Rabbi Yishmael, ashrecha ben dama, shegufcha tar v'yatsa nishmascha betahara, v'lo avarta al divrei chavirecha shayu omrim, Uporit geder yishachenu nachash. So, and Rabbi Yishmael said, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem that your neshama left with in tahara, and over here, it's a double entendre, meaning he said the word mutter as his last word on this earth, and it's a siman min hashamayim that his neshama left in the state of tahara. Mutter means heter, means it's a state of purity, and better that she died rather than violate the words of the chachamim. Violating the words of the chachamim poriz geder yishachen anachash. You break that fence that was set up by the chachamim, so you're going to be bitten by the snake. So over here, what seems very clear, super clear from this incident, is that he was looking at impending death and imminent death, and yet he had the ability to be treated by the men, and his uncle said no. And why not? Meaning, didn't we just conclude Gehazi and his three sons, the Gemara earlier, that if you're looking at imminent death, you can be treated. So the Gemara says, Shani minus demashcha da'asi lememshech basrayu. So the Gemara says, no, minus is different. We're talking about heresy over here. In other words, it's not just going to a guy. It's going to a heretic. A heretic is going to be moshech, especially considered, by the way, if he's successful in treating you. So now this min, this heretic, is successful in treating you. So now you're going to be very grateful, understandably. But what you're going to be grateful to is minus and the heresy. And so for that, Rabbi Yishmael says, under no circumstances, even Chaye Shah, for no circumstances is someone to be treated by a heretic. And Rabbi Yishmael says no. Now remember, the nephew said, I have a pasuk that was going to allow it. Now he was cut off mid-sentence by his own demise. Tomorrow we start off with the simple question of what was he thinking? Gemara is going to explore that tomorrow.